making it difficult to sit through the experience. There will be times when you cannot concentrate, and it feels like you're just sitting there, waiting for the session to be over. It can be hard not to get up from meditation when you feel restless or bored, something else pulls for your attention, or you simply do not feel like doing it. To deepen our mindfulness, concentration, and insight, we need to be honest with ourselves about what is happening, employing all the skills we are learning for working with what is here, what is real, and what is true. We need an array of tools for navigating our inner landscape, the range of shifting thoughts, feelings, moods, and emotions that appear in the course of meditation, both for when our minds are clear and settled and the meditation feels pleasant and good, and when it feels like it is all falling apart. Turning into the skid. Formal meditation is practice for real life. All the work we put in on the meditation cushion is training ourselves to meet the moments of our life without being oppressed by them. When confronted with anything unpleasant, our habitual response is often to push it away. When our knees ache, we stretch out our leg. When old memories or feelings awaken, we distract ourselves. If we cannot concentrate, we push harder. When the present moment is not giving us what we want, we can fall into a negative reinforcing spiral of frustration, agitation, and struggle. When negative emotions or distressing thoughts arise, we feel the affliction, even if we are mindfully present. Aches and pains are not going to melt into pleasant sensations, regardless of how we relate to them. But we can magnify the problem by our inability to be with what is happening. A pain in our neck that will not go away is unpleasant enough. When we engage it in battle, a whole new layer of suffering is added on top of an already painful situation. We feel the pain and then add more suffering through the struggle. When driving on icy roads, the automatic response if you begin to skid is usually to jerk the steering wheel away from the direction in which you are skidding. But to gain traction and head back in the right direction, you have to steer toward it. The way out is counterintuitive. Even if you are careening toward a building or tree, the way out is in. You have to turn into the skid. Only once you have gained traction and the tires are gripping the road can you steer away from the obstacle. This is the challenge. We need practice so that we have the presence of mind, the space between what happens and our response to it, to choose the right course of action. Seeing the inevitable difficulties as a chance for discovery allows for the possibility of freedom. These are opportunities for taking charge of your response in any situation. The way out of suffering is not always to turn away from it, but to bring a willingness to meet your experience. Noticing the changing nature. When our hearts and minds are at ease, it is easy to become complacent, but clarity and ease inevitably give way to periods of difficulty and stress. Just as the sun at its zenith always sets, only to rise again, and flowers open and close according to their natural cycles, the old falls away, but a fresh opportunity is left behind. Insight begins to mature as we learn to end the struggle and turn to meet every experience as our teacher. We do not want to miss the opportunity for growth these times offer. When hindrances arise or we do not get our way, we can learn to stop fighting ourselves. When our beautiful meditations have turned to burdens, we should not miss the potential that these times of change present to see the transitory nature of life. We begin to understand that nothing has gone wrong, that the situation has merely changed due to its own causes and conditions. This is how everything works. Some amount of discomfort or pain is inevitable. If you sit still long enough, even if it is in a soft, comfortable chair, your body will hurt. You can lie down to meditate or choose any posture, and eventually, aches and pains will show up. We want to find the balance between shifting our posture to take care of ourselves and letting things be and learning how to work with what is. Knowing your limits. Notice your experience as you sit down to meditate. Take a few moments to settle into your sitting posture and look to see what the present moment is giving you. This is reality. What do you find is happening? It is not so much a matter of trying to be mindful of your breathing, but being interested and curious to connect with and attune yourself to whatever is actually here. not what happened the last time you set to meditate. The whole practice is learning how to work and be skillfully present with the present, with this reality. Imagine a circle with you at the center. Inside the circle are all of the experiences you are able to be present with, whether they are pleasant or painful. Outside the circle are those situations that are too much for you to deal with, things that are so intense or difficult that you simply cannot work with them. Think of meditation practice as expanding the circle to encompass more and more of your life. We need discernment to know what we can handle and respect for what really is too much for us. We need to recognize where anything that happens lives in relation to our circle. The wisdom to know when to stay present with something and when, in fact, it is too much comes from experience. We will all have times when we think we are on one side of the circle and we are actually on the other. Oftentimes we struggle moving away from pain when we really could have worked with it. When we stretch out our knee to relieve the pain or distract ourselves from some emotion, we may miss an opportunity for learning how to be present with and let go of our suffering in the face of difficulties. There are also times when you might stay with something too long, and it would have served you better to shift or move, to change the situation, or bring down its intensity if you can. We think we are supposed to stay with it, believing we should be able to remain mindful and present without struggle, when in reality, it is simply too much. It falls outside of our circle. We may sit with terrible knee pain, toughing it out when we need a break, not out of aversion, but out of compassion for ourselves, so that we can find some ease and our mind can relax. In those times, we suffer unnecessarily. When to stay with something and when to seek relief is a question we all must answer for ourselves. Use your best intuition. Do not worry whether or not you made the right decision. You do not always have the luxury of changing your circumstances, whether in meditation or in life. Whenever something really is too much, we are going to suffer if we cannot bring down the intensity or find a way out. We need a tremendous amount of compassion for ourselves in those times when we find there is no escape from something that is beyond our learning edge. Our task then may be to bear our suffering. You can try redirecting your attention away from the hurt towards something pleasant, safe, or comforting. While pain or sorrow may not disappear because you distract yourself, putting your mind on something pleasing can be a real support, providing a needed break and bolstering your ability to come back later with full attention to deal with the situation. We don't want to always run away from problems, but we do want to use whatever tools will help us. Try opening your eyes and looking around for a beautiful image, perhaps a flower or painting. Feel the beauty of it. Let the pleasant feeling permeate you. Or pick up a book and read a few inspiring passages, or turn on your favorite music, finding whatever gladdens your mind and helps you feel more happy and relaxed. Notice how good it feels, and consciously let the good feeling pervade your body. Once you feel steadier and more able to meet your experience, try again, turning your attention back to work with the difficulty. Notice what it is like to meet the physical pain or emotional anguish now, and if this helps you meet the situation with some degree of non-reactive presence. When you feel steady and clear and hindrances are not arising, stay with the breath. You may notice that your mind is quiet, your body is relaxed, and you find an ease of continuity in your attention. If you become aware that your body aches or your mind is distressed, if you are struggling, see if you can stop fighting yourself and try to let go of your suffering. Remember that we are not trying to stay with the breath and be concentrated no matter what, but we do want to stay present for and work skillfully with anything that might happen. Do not try to force yourself back to the breath when difficulties arise, but stay receptive to welcoming all experiences as part of your meditation. Pleasant and unpleasant. Some experiences are pleasant, some are unpleasant, and some are in between. Anything unpleasant can be hard to be with. If something is too pleasant, it pulls us in. And if it is somewhere in between, neither obviously pleasant nor unpleasant, it is easy to space out or feel restless or bored. The Pali word vedana, commonly translated as feeling or feeling tone, refers to this pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral aspect accompanying all of our experience. Feelings act as filters to color our perceptions and influence how we relate to whatever is happening. When we are not aware of them, we tend to reactively push away anything unpleasant or to grab onto whatever is pleasant. We notice not just the experience itself, but the experience mixed with our opinions and judgments about it. If you are being mindful of knee pain in your meditation, for example, sometimes you might not notice that you are relating to the pain with some aversion. Once you have fallen into reactivity, it's much harder to let go. You want to be aware of whatever is happening, but also of the attitudes you bring to meet your experience. Noticing the feeling tone creates a wedge of mindfulness, giving you space between what happens and your response to it. By remaining clearly aware of what is happening and the feeling tone associated with it, you can let pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral experiences all come and go without pushing away or trying to hold on to anything. If you notice that you are tense or struggling, try checking for feeling tone. Just bringing awareness to feelings is often enough help for you to stay present with a challenging experience. You can be aware of something pleasant without holding on to it. You can know your experience is unpleasant without straining to make it go away. You can let go of indifference to meet neutral experiences with interest. Even when your meditation seems to be going smoothly, it can be useful to check in with the feeling tone from time to time. You can notice the feeling tone of any sight, sound, smell, taste, physical sensation, or thought. Bringing such awareness to feelings can help unmask subtle areas of craving and clinging that you may not have noticed before. Opening to all experiences. So far, we have been emphasizing letting our breathing or some other meditation object stay in the foreground and allowing all other experiences to stay in the background of our awareness. We are deepening our concentration with the breath, learning to become close, familiar, and intimate with it, inclining our mind to it, other experiences. While we are cultivating a strong preference for the breath as a primary meditation subject, we will not be able to maintain that level of connection and attention all the time. It soon becomes clear that during some days, some sittings, or some parts of sittings, you will not be able to focus or stay present very well. You cannot focus your mind to concentrate. You can try to force it, like prying something open that does not want to release, but that will only serve to make you more frustrated and stressed. There are always many other experiences in addition to the main ones we are working with in meditation. At times, you will find yourself agitated or restless, sleepy or dull. Your body may ache, or you may be flooded with emotional pain, fear, confusion, old memories, anger, or grief. Or something else will push itself into the forefront of your consciousness, refusing to rest in the background, something with which you struggle or suffer in some way. You may be bothered by sounds or other things that previously were easy to let go and allow to remain in the background. It can be difficult to stay present when you find yourself facing physical pain or emotional distress. At times, it can be challenging not to fall into aversion when something becomes strong or compelling, and you grapple and strain with what is happening. During these times, we want to find ways to open to, include, and incorporate any of these other experiences into the meditation practice. We do not want to fall into a struggle with ourselves, trying to push away whatever is happening, thinking we are supposed to stay only with our breathing. We began learning how to be mindful by paying attention to our breathing. Then we used the breath to deepen mindfulness. The breath was our first teacher, and as we continue to attend to it, mindfulness, concentration, and clear awareness all deepen, along with our ability to be present regardless of what happens. As the art and skill of meditation matures, we learn to surf the waves of all that happens, gracefully moving in a very inclusive way with the continuously changing flow of experience. Mindfulness with breathing. When we cannot concentrate, our back aches, or there is a pain in our knee or grief in our heart, it can be hard to stay with the breath. Rather than struggling to concentrate, we can let go of the breath and stop trying to keep these difficulties at bay. One technique to help is switching from mindfulness of breathing or mindfulness of sound to mindfulness with breathing or with sound or any other practice you are doing. Allow the breath to come into your awareness along with whatever else you are dealing with. The breath acts as a stabilizing factor and support, helping you remain present to meet and work with the pain. For some people, it is a sense of breathing into the experience. For others, it is more a sense of having breathing in their awareness alongside whatever else is happening. It is not splitting your attention, but having both together at the same time, the pain and the breathing, the emotion and the breathing. You will have to experiment and see what works best. When meditation is easy and pleasant, breathe with it, working skillfully and wisely with the pleasure to deepen concentration. Breathe with the good feelings in your body and mind. When it is difficult, try breathing with that. The practice is not to deny or negate your pain. We are not trying to get rid of anything. If you have pain in your body, you can direct your breathing right into the pain. If you have pain in your heart, try breathing with the anger or sadness. If you are having trouble connecting with your breathing, look to see where the block in the connection is. Turn your attention to it and see if you can breathe with that. If you are unable to be with whatever that is, turn to what is stopping you now and see if you can breathe with that. Keep backing up. Keep turning your attention toward whatever is keeping you from being with your present moment experience until you find what you can be with. That is the place to focus. Your experience will tell you what is needed and how to proceed. Notice if you are struggling, if there is some way in which you are not relaxed and at ease. Your struggle will tell you. Look to see what is going on and if you can relax into your experience. Do not fight or strain to keep the breath at the center of attention. Let go of the breath and turn with mindfulness to meet the reality of the moment. You may need to experiment to find how you can breathe with discomfort or how you can let the support of the sound you are working with, acting as a stabilizing influence, come in with you to meet the worry. It may not be obvious how you can breathe with strong emotion or with any other experience. Explore and experiment to find how the breath can help you be present with your distress and incorporate it as part of the meditation. When you are not concentrated, you can breathe with that. When your back aches, you can breathe with that. You can breathe with the pain in your knee or with your anger or grief. Let the breath help you integrate your struggles as part of the practice. By turning towards your experience, you can work with physical and emotional pain, including them in the meditation. When you are in pain or upset, if your experience is difficult or unpleasant in some way, breathe with it. Try directing the breath. See what emerges as you breathe with grief. The breath will help you remain steady and present, even in the face of discomfort. It will act as a support to help you stay more relaxed. Eventually, either in this or in a future session, things will get quieter and you will be able to concentrate again. The difficulties will subside, or they will change, or will not be so interesting or compelling. You will again be able to let other experiences stay in the background without struggle, and you can return to the mindfulness of breathing practice. In this way, you do not have to choose what to be aware of in your meditation. You can allow your experience to inform you. During the times when you can concentrate well, when your body is at ease and other experiences are not so strong, keep them all in the background and stay with your main, simple practice, mindfulness of breathing. At other times, these experiences will become strong, or you will find yourself struggling or suffering, and then you can bring in mindfulness of breathing or with sound, letting the breathing or sound act as a support to help you stay more undistracted and present. In this way, you learn to move seamlessly back and forth between mindfulness of breathing and mindfulness with breathing. There may also be times when whatever is happening is so strong or so compelling that you just feel the need to put your wholehearted, full attention on the experience while letting go of the breathing completely. Even mindfulness with breathing may not be appropriate. Instead, you remain fully with the other experience. During those times, too, stay with the experience until it subsides or you need a break, and whenever you choose, you can come back to the home-based practice of mindful breathing. If physical or emotional pain or struggle has not settled out when it is time to end your meditation, you may wish to take the last few minutes before getting up to shift your awareness to something that helps ease the stress. If you have been sitting with body pain, change your posture. Take a few deeper breaths and stretch out your arms and legs. Open your eyes and notice your surroundings. Or you can simply get up from the session if you feel ready to transition and carry on with your day. Over time, you will learn that the course of meditation, like all of life, flows in cycles, following its own patterns and progression. You will be more able to relax with the ever-changing rhythms as they lose their power to shake you off center. Chapter 5. Right Concentration. If you have ever undertaken the practice of bringing mindfulness into daily life, trying to be aware the best you can moment to moment and not be lost on automatic pilot, you know how hard it can be to stay present and awake. Perhaps you try to stay with your breathing or feel the movement in your feet as you move about, being mindful and clearly aware in any way you can, as much as you can. Or you use something else, feeling the phone in your hand as you talk, your hands on the steering wheel if you are driving, anything to help anchor your attention in the present moment. It is the same in meditation. Perhaps you are present for a few breaths, only to find yourself waking up sometime later from the daydream of your thoughts and worries and all the imaginings that capture your attention to remember, "Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm trying to be mindful." If that has ever happened to you, then you have experienced mindfulness without the support of concentration. That is a very different experience from mindfulness with concentration. As our practice develops, the fruits of our efforts in formal meditation permeate all the rest of our lives. We find that we are increasingly mindful naturally without having to try to make it happen. The Pali word we have been translating as concentration is samadhi. It is significant that the final element, the culmination of the Eightfold Path, is right concentration, and that the whole final section, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration, is called the samadhi group. It is not the mindfulness group, it is the concentration group. This is telling us something. It is saying that right concentration includes effort, that mindfulness is included, it is not something separate, and that it includes undistractedness. All three of these elements need to work together, informing and supporting each other in order for concentration to be right concentration. It is hard to overstate the importance samadhi holds in the Buddhist path to awakening. We have to understand right concentration and how to apply it, especially as we begin to cultivate and attain the subtler, deeper stations in meditation. The Buddha placed great importance and emphasis on samadhi, talking about it over and over in his teachings. In addition to the prominence placed samadhi holds in the Noble Eightfold Path, it is emphasized in many of the Buddhist teachings that elaborate on meditation practices. Two kinds of concentration. The word concentration carries various connotations, each shaping how it is considered in relation to insight meditation. None of the interpretations are right or wrong. No application is better or more correct than another. I hope we can appreciate the range of ways concentration is practiced and the various ways it is related to insight so that we can make conscious, informed choices in how to steer our practice, because each choice will influence the direction in which meditation unfolds in different ways. Samadhi means undistracted. Another good translation is collected. An undistracted or collected mind can unfold either naturally on its own or by purposefully aiming in one direction or the other. Strengthening concentration can serve to connect us more intimately with our body and mind or to disconnect us from our experience. If you continue practicing as I have been teaching here, giving emphasis to mindfulness of breathing, your ability to concentrate and remain steady and focused with the breath will grow. Your mind will progressively wander less and less, and you can eventually become so skilled at centering on one thing that your mind will hardly waver at all. If you keep training your mind, taking your practice far enough, you can reach a stage in which you become extremely adept at concentrating. Your ability to remain steady and undistracted on one object will have been strengthened to the point where you will not notice any other experiences. You will be fully engrossed, fully absorbed, just in the experience of one thing, the one meditation object, whatever it is. At this stage, your mind is so fixed on a narrow point that it can never wander. At this point, undistractedness has progressed to the pinnacle of steadiness. The changing flow of experience will stop for you because your mind has become one-pointed. Ultimately, concentration can be taken so far that you will no longer notice experiences in your body, thoughts, sounds, moods, or emotions. You will lose awareness of other experiences because the ability of your mind to concentrate on this one point has been strengthened so much that your mind does not go to anything else. You do not perceive anything from any of the senses. I call this type of undistractedness exclusive concentration because the mind is exclusively focused on one thing. Awareness rests exclusively on that one thing and excludes awareness of everything else. It is also called one-pointedness or fixed concentration because the mind can stay narrowly focused on the one point of the breath. The second way undistractedness can develop is equal in depth and power to one-pointed exclusive concentration, but is qualitatively very different. In this second style of undistractedness, perception of changing phenomena is never lost. Instead of being lost, your awareness of changing experiences is enhanced. At its culmination, the mind itself stops, just as it does in exclusive one-pointedness, but this is stopping of a different sort. Rather than the flow of sense perceptions stopping, the mind comes to tranquility, all the while being open, receptive, and clearly aware of the full range of changing experiences. The mind, equally still, unwavering, and steady as in one-pointedness, stops, but does not stop on a fixed point. This is a different kind of stillness, known as jhana, an utterly undistracted awareness that is open to and include all that is happening. In a later chapter, we will explore the nature of jhana and how to enter and work with those meditative states. In order to differentiate from one-pointedness, I call this second kind of concentration unification of mind. This concentration is inclusive rather than exclusive because it excludes nothing and is inclusive of all experiences. The main distinction between inclusive unification of mind and exclusive one-pointed concentration is whether or not you have any experiences of changing phenomena. Exclusive concentration is disconnecting. When taken to its culmination, there is no longer any sensory experience. It is a purely mental state in which the mind becomes one-pointed, such that there is only the experience of bliss or of light, for example. All sense of changing experience is lost. You cannot experience your body. In inclusive concentration, you have not lost connection with the body. In fact, that connection is enhanced. You are aware of your body and of your mental experiences. But along with that, there is a deeper place of the mind that is utterly still, clear, present, and aware. Everything is happening and unfolding within pure awareness, and the pure awareness is not moving. The mind is unmoving. Mindfulness and clarity are amplified, and the connection with the whole range of your experience is heightened. It is the second style of concentration, this inclusive style, toward which we are aiming. This distinction between two kinds of undistractedness is important as you learn to navigate the deeper, subtler stages of concentration. You may naturally incline toward unmoving focus that is concentrated exclusively on a point, losing awareness of everything else, or you may lean toward an unmoving and undistracted mind that is open and aware as all kinds of different experiences come and go. By understanding these distinctions with a clear sense of where you are aiming, you may choose to let the process unfold on its own, or you can steer the unfolding in either direction. In the next chapter, we will discuss how to recognize in which direction you are naturally moving and how you can steer toward inclusive undistractedness, which will be a powerful support in bringing concentration and insight together. Concentration supports insight. No Buddhist teachers say, "Be distracted." Everyone appreciates the importance and benefit of a clear, steady, unfocused mind for the cultivation of insight. Aiming toward more presence and stability helps you to not be lost and caught up in your thoughts, feelings, and moods. But while the ability of the mind to remain undistracted is considered important by all, there is a wide range of understandings and teachings about what that concentration should look like. Some meditation teachers de-emphasize concentration in insight meditation, while others place great emphasis on its development. This can be a source of confusion, especially when reading guides like this one. If you are an experienced meditator and have heard instructions from numerous teachers, it may not be clear how or if these instructions fit together, or if you should be doing insight meditation or concentration practices. In fact, you are not doing insight versus doing concentration. It is all one practice. There does not need to be any contention between mindfulness and concentration. We need not choose between the two. We can strengthen both together and aim our meditation in a way that appreciates and highlights both. For insight and concentration to work together, you have to develop the right kind of concentration. Insight necessitates an intimate connection with your entire experience so you can see what is happening and how you are relating to it. If you become too exclusively concentrated, if you lose contact with changing mental and physical experience, you lose the link with yourself and insights are not likely to arise. You will have to lift out of the concentration in order to regain awareness of the changing experiences of your body and mind and turn toward insight. You need to stay connected with your body, heart, and mind if you want to understand their nature. Insight blossoms as you come to recognize that all things are constantly changing due to their own causes and conditions. When you try to hold on to anything that is destined to change, you sow the seeds of suffering. In order to know these truths directly, beyond ordinary intellectual understanding, you need to touch changing phenomena so that you can observe change and your responses to it. It is in service of this goal that we are cultivating unification of mind, which can go all the way to jhana without losing the experience of change. Insight can arise even in the deepest stages of samadhi. It is, in fact, enhanced since you never lose connection with change. Since we will be developing concentration that is connecting, you are not going to lose awareness of your body and mind. Just the opposite. Your connection with yourself will be enhanced. You do not have to come out of even the deepest stages of concentration into some lower level in order to do insight meditation. You can synthesize concentration and insight into one practice through cultivation of inclusive, connecting awareness, opening whole new realms of opportunity for deepening insight. Stilling the mind to the point where you are undistracted but still connected with all experiences, you are never too concentrated. You do this by bringing up mindfulness to meet the concentration. When you have a small degree of concentration, bring the mindfulness to meet it. When concentration and its associated experiences are powerful, bring the mindfulness up to meet that. Insight is happening even in the deepest stages of concentration because you never lose connection. You can take the practice all the way to jhana, and mindfulness, concentration, and insight will all come with you and be unified. Concentration that is connecting shines a bright light of awareness with which to meet our experiences in ever subtler ways, opening the way for profound insights to arise. When concentration is connected, the ground is prepared for insights to occur both within stages of concentration and without. A potential pitfall of concentration. The undistractedness that comes with being well connected can generate a whole range of amazing and compelling phenomena. In a later chapter, I will discuss the kinds of attractive experiences that can arise when you are connected, deeply satisfying feelings of peace and calm, pleasant feelings of energy moving in your body, and interesting lights and sounds. It is important for meditators to practice in order to have these experiences. The experiences of being concentrated have an important function in making the mind malleable and wieldy and gladdening the mind, leading to relaxation and ease, and allowing us to remain present with the ever-changing flow of experience. But these pleasant experiences can be pitfalls. If meditators confuse these experiences with the greater purpose of being concentrated, to enhance awareness of and connection with ourself, meditators risk becoming attached to them. We should not fear these states or try to avoid them, but should bring wisdom and discernment to working with them, just as we do with any other experience. Fear of attachment should not dissuade us from cultivating these important states of mind. If clinging to or grasping for meditative states arises, that can be a rich area for investigation and learning. Just as we should not seek after suffering, but should not fear it either, we should neither chase after the pleasures of concentration nor avoid them due to worry about attachment. I will discuss how to recognize and manage these situations. Having clear guidance, you will not have to worry about any of the experiences that might arise in your meditation. Right concentration. Right concentration is always defined as the four jhanas. As we'll see, jhana is divided into four stages. If you remember that concentration really means being undistracted, then jhana is a special kind of undistracted awareness that does not leave mindfulness and insight behind. Right concentration yokes tranquility, mindfulness, and insight evenly together. Though the Pali texts are explicit that right concentration is the four jhanas, this does not mean that you have the wrong concentration unless you have attained jhana. Aim toward jhana, but be careful not to set yourself up for overstriving. From a practice perspective, it is more useful to consider right concentration as culminating in jhana. Whatever degree of concentration you have can be considered right concentration, as long as it is accompanied by right understanding, right intention, and the other elements of the Eightfold Path. Holding concentration with this attitude can support you in staying easeful and relaxed, helping you avoid overstriving or struggle, even as you remain conscientious and committed in your meditation. Chapter 6. Deepening Concentration. With growing concentration and heightened mindfulness, meditation opens in whole new directions as our efforts bear deepening fruit. Supported by the steady presence you have been cultivating, what had been difficult or a struggle now comes almost effortlessly. Where you may have been plagued by hindrances or strove just to stay present for a few breaths, you are now opening to a degree of ease and clarity inaccessible in the beginning. This can be an inspiring time, encouraging and sustaining your continued practice. As peace, calm presence, open-hearted kindness, and all the benefits you have been receiving on the meditation cushion are carried through into the rest of your life, you may feel a growing sense of gratitude and a deeper motivation to explore where this journey of self-discovery might lead. This is also a time to notice if you fall into craving or clinging. Just as we can easily get caught up in ordinary life, we can become enthralled with the progression of meditation. We do not want to turn what is wholesome and meant to help us come to an end of suffering into a source of clinging. If you find yourself pushing to make the concentration better or stronger or more blissful, try to relax and let go into whatever is happening, whether it is a time of discomfort or ease. Stay with the simple mindfulness of breathing practice, however the process continues to reveal itself. Let the power of the concentration you have developed support an even deeper, more sustained connection with your breath. By now, you are well acquainted with meditation's challenges and rewards. Bring the skills and mindfulness you have been developing to meet and work with all the inevitable ups and downs. Notice what is happening and how you are relating to the unfolding process. The same equanimity you employed to prevent you from falling into aversion with hindrances will help you avoid the trap of craving for the pleasure of concentration. Ways of unfolding. Deepening practice can develop in a variety of ways. As your ability to remain undistracted grows, the experiences associated with concentration can become much stronger and more compelling, and will tend to fill more and more of your consciousness. Concentration and the physical sensations of breathing tend to mix, merge, or interact in a variety of ways. Sometimes, the physical breath will expand out naturally and be experienced through the entire abdomen, torso, shoulders, or head. Or, awareness can shift from the gross physical sensations of the breath to subtler inner sensations, which can be experienced as patterns of energy in the body. We discussed previously how sometimes the sensations of breathing can be more prominent than the experiences of concentration, and other times the concentration can become stronger in your awareness than the breath. This dynamic can also shift so you feel the concentration and the breath merging until they become one blended experience. No longer feeling the physical sensations of breathing as being separate from the experiences of concentration, you now find that the object of your attention is transformed into a new experience, breath and concentration unified into what we can call the samadhi breath. You might experience the samadhi breath as the breath blended with light, energy, pleasure, stillness, sound, or any of the experiences we have been talking about. Or, rather than merging just with the breath, samadhi can also expand beyond the breath to fill your whole body. If subtle breath energy or any other samadhi experience suffuses throughout your body, let the process happen. Perhaps you will still be able to individually discern the breath and the concentration, or the concentration suffused through the body, but the sense of them merged into one will be stronger. If any of these phenomena happen, let the feeling of breath expanded through the body or the blended experience become the new object of your meditation practice. Stay with the new blended or expanded experience, just as you have been working with the breath from the beginning. The merging of samadhi and breath, or the expanding of breath to fill the whole body, may happen naturally, or you may choose to direct your attention to move in those directions if you feel yourself becoming less connected with the sense of your body. In our discussion of right concentration, we said there are two main directions in which concentration can head: toward inclusive concentration or exclusive concentration. For some of us, the experience of concentration will naturally expand to suffuse the body. If samadhi has pervaded your entire body, you are naturally heading in the direction of inclusive, embodied unification of mind, and you do not have to do anything except let the process unfold on its own. Do not try to get back to the breath. Continue mindfully connecting with the whole body. The breath will have done its job. Meditation can also progress in the opposite direction. Rather than feeling embodied, you can become increasingly engrossed in the concentration experiences themselves. If these experiences become quite strong and compelling, you may feel drawn into them. You may want to leave any feeling of your body behind and go into these experiences. We call it becoming absorbed in them, ever more deeply. Becoming less connected with and aware of the body, you are becoming more engaged with and absorbed in the purely mental experience of the pleasure, the light, or the bliss. You are headed toward a one-pointed, disembodied, exclusive concentration. If you were to follow that and let the bliss fill more and more of your awareness, you would eventually lose awareness of your body altogether, and only the experience of light or bliss would remain. Steering toward inclusive concentration. Since we are aiming for inclusive embodied samadhi, as the concentration becomes stronger, notice in which direction you are inclining. Check in once or twice during a sitting period. See if you have a sense of being connected with your body or not. For many people, there is neither a strong, obvious pull into the concentration and away from the body, nor a strong sense of concentration being embodied. In this case, simply stay with the mindful breathing or with the blended samadhi breath, however you experience it. You are entering a subtle realm where the distinction between embodied and disembodied concentration may not be easily discernible. There may not be much experience in your body to connect with because everything may be so quiet and still, but you will still have some sense of knowing there is a body or that you are losing that awareness. The normal sense of solidity can dissolve as you begin to perceive your body as being composed of energy, vibration, or light. Everything can become so tranquil and still that, while you are still connected with and have a sense of the body, there is not much happening to experience. You may need to purposefully turn away from exclusive concentration and steer yourself in the direction of inclusive samadhi. If the sensations of breath take on a body of their own, or begin to feel disconnected, you are heading into a purely mental experience. That is the time to incline your mind or coax it back and suffuse your awareness throughout the body. If meditation is unfolding this way for you, once the experiences of concentration become quite compelling, rather than having all your attention absorbed or pulled into them, do precisely the opposite. Pull into them and suffuse them throughout your body. You can do that by turning your attention back to your body. Put your awareness on your body, connecting with it wherever and in whatever way you experience it. Because the power of your concentrated mind is so strong, simply by placing your awareness on your body, consciously turning your attention to it, the concentration will turn into the body with you and will pervade throughout your body on its own. You do not want to do this too early in the process. You will know when the time is right by paying attention to what happens. You will know if it is too early, if you were not that concentrated in turning your attention away from the samadhi or the samadhi breath and toward awareness of your body, you will tend to lift out of the concentration. You will clearly see that your mind is less settled. And you will know if you waited too long because you will have become fully absorbed into the mental samadhi experience and all awareness of your body will have vanished. Do not worry if this happens. You will have gained experience for the next time to better know when to turn back to your body before the connection is severed. You will know if you turned your attention back at the right time because the experiences of bliss, energy, light, or peace will go into your body and fill it, and it will continue opening in that direction on its own as you settle further into concentration. Deepening of letting go. Bring however much effort is needed to your meditation, but no more. Use the lightest touch of attention necessary for staying present and connected. Balance making effort with letting go so that the building momentum takes over and does more of the work for you. Let the concentration itself carry you further into the practice. You may have a feeling of wanting to try harder and push with the mind. This is not a physical sense of pushing. It is increasing your effort beyond simply connecting with and sustaining your attention on the meditation object, going beyond that to a mental feeling of working harder to press your attention and immerse awareness even more fully into the meditation object. If you try pressing with your awareness, pay attention to whether it causes agitation or helps you deepen. At some point, you will have to let go of pushing. It is too much mental doing and ultimately hinders the subtler changes of letting go required to drop into jhana. We sometimes have a tendency to keep increasing effort as concentration strengthens, but this can be counterproductive. The deeper stages of samadhi are stages of letting go, not stages of more doing. Let the momentum take over and carry you. This is the doorway into jhana. Chapter 7. Strong energies and challenging experiences. If you meditate, you are going to get more concentrated, and with concentration come both opportunities and challenges. Deepening concentration brings new possibilities for growth, but we need to acknowledge and be respectful of the very real and powerful energies, emotions, memories, and somatic experiences that can accompany the growing steadiness and clarity. We cannot fully know all that might arise in our practice, so we need to have the skills and tools to work with anything that happens. We need to learn to navigate the terrain, familiarizing ourselves with the landscape of consciousness with appreciation for both its potential and pitfalls. And we need to bring an open, receptive attitude and a willingness to stay present with what is happening for us. With guidance and experience, we develop resources and skills to meet anything we encounter, listening carefully, paying attention, and acknowledging our limitations and knowing when and how to back off. The progression of deepening samadhi is highly individual. For some people, meditation unfolds in a way that is very smooth and calm, from beginning practice through the subtlest stages of jhana, without a lot of strong energetic experiences. For others, the progression of meditation can be quite powerful and dramatic. Working with the pleasure. The pleasure of concentration helps loosen our mundane attachments and the pull of ordinary sense pleasures. As the pleasure of concentration strengthens, sensual desires begin to lose their grip on us. Because the contentment of a quiet mind is more satisfying than ordinary worldly enjoyments, the power and allure of worldly pleasures start to diminish, without us having to do much to make it happen. But because the pleasure of concentration is so compelling, we may begin meditating just in order to have more. This is why some teachers invalidate these experiences or would have us avoid them, concerned that they will serve only to increase craving. But just as we should not make too much of them, neither should we deny the pleasure and profundity such experiences offer. We should not be afraid of the pleasure of concentration. The pleasure serves as an important function in furthering the deepening process. The Buddha called jhana the pleasure associated with renunciation, seclusion, peace, and enlightenment. He said we should seek out and develop this kind of pleasure, that it should not be avoided or feared. Deepening concentration offers us challenges and opportunities. When we touch it,